somebody that's and from Kenya or working in Kenya, because I, preachers are to do an hour, and I'm not going to do an hour.
We're usually done by 10:30.
10:30, okay, no problem. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
I want to greet the people that might be watching from Kenya, so I'm going to indulge me a minute here. Bari asubuhi kanisa, that's the way you would say it in Swahili. And also for my kids back there, one of the teachers always corrects me. I say it in singular. She says it's not Nakupenda, coach, it's Nina Wapenda, which is I love you for all those kids that are watching. Nina Wapenda, I love you and I miss you. And for my girls back there, I have Kenyan daughters. And the little kids in Mathari, I want to do this. They're always blowing me kisses, so mwah, kisses to you. You know, for those that don't know me, I was a basketball coach here. I looked it up. I couldn't believe it's that long. It's 34 years ago. We moved to Snyder, Texas, and I looked at pictures, and then I understand I was much younger then. My family and I moved here, and it was amazing. We came here. It was about this time of year. I remember Dr. Krennic was showing us around the town, and he was apologizing for the size of the town. And finally, I had to say, Dr. Krennic, you don't understand. We're coming from a town that had one Dairy Queen and two Allsups on the either end of town. That was it. So this is a big town for me and my family. We were happy. I was the basketball coach at Western Texas for 4 years. But more especially, we got really involved in this church. And this church, Eastside, became very involved with my family. My daughter, Tanya, talked to her last night. She said, be sure and tell everybody there hello. So greetings from her, my wife, Janice, and my other two daughters, Molly and Emily. They love this place, and they always say to tell you hello. It was a special place for us. The spirit here, we have some lifelong friends. We got involved with the Martins and the Bowdens, and of course that was crazy, but what wonderful friends, and they've remained. And so not only that, but this, I always thank this church for being involved in our life and now partnering with us in the work in Kenya. And when you see the title, How Did I Get Here?, you may wonder, what in the world is he talking about? I know how to get from Abilene to Snyder's, not that. Let me tell you a story, and then I'll back up some, but true story. 1996, after being at ACU, we left Western Texas in the spring and the fall of 91. Tanya had graduated. I was the basketball coach at ACU for 5 years. In 96, we moved to Kenya. And how that happened is a whole different story and an amazing one. But after 5 or 6 months living in Nairobi, Kenya, there was one morning I'm on my way to work, and I was working at a college in Eastleigh called Kenya Christian Industrial Training Institute. They like those long names. KCITI was the abbreviation. And I left the house. I lived on one side of Nairobi and drove across town. If it was a Sunday, like it is in America, where there's no traffic, you know, I could make it in about 25 minutes. But normal day, and this was like a Monday, it would be horrible traffic. I would make it in 45 minutes to an hour. And, you know, you got to keep in mind, I'm in Africa, Nairobi, Kenya. I get in my car, and then, like we've all done, I get to Eastleigh and don't remember a thing how I got there. You know, you've done that before. You daydream, and you go in thought, and I'm in the middle of traffic in Eastleigh, and I think, oh, I begin to laugh. I really did. I laughed and thought, Lord, you can truly get me used to anything. Here I am in a city of 4 million people, worst traffic I've ever driven in. The roads I'm driving on have potholes, and there's people everywhere in Eastleigh. There's dust, and Eastleigh is the place, if you want to buy anything illegal, you just go to Eastleigh. You can buy guns, anything. Back in 89 or so, when they were hunting for the warlord, they found him in Eastleigh. But, you know, here I am, and I'm driving a vehicle that's right-hand drive on the left side of the road, wrong side of the road, we'd say. The British would say this, the right side. And so anyway, I'm just amazed that I have been daydreaming and have no idea how I got there. And I think God is amazing, is he not? What he can truly get you used to. And so, you know, how did this all happen? When you think about my journey and what God has done, and I'll be honest with you, we always, Janice and I would always pray, even about this move, we would pray. But our prayer typically was, God, we want to do this and this. Is this okay? We didn't go seek, where does God want us? We did, but really it was us first and God second. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, it's kind of like God come along, and if he said no, then we would look at something else. But when we moved to Abilene, this is how this all came about. We were members at Southern Hills Church, and Janice and I became involved in a small group. Sam and Jeannie Bolin, John, Melinda McLean had a very small group, and they were both, Sam and John were both elders at the church at that time at Southern Hills. And during that time, we began to study a book by Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God. I don't know if you've got that one up there, Alan, if we can put that up. The list, Blackaby's book. Okay, the scriptures, we don't have those? Okay. Anyway, I'll just call it out to you. In his book, this is a summary. I'm not going to go through the whole book. But Blackaby said something very interesting, and this is a summary. He said, God is always working around us. And he used a scripture in John chapter 5. Jesus has just healed the lame man. You remember the story, right? And he's been criticized because it occurred on the Sabbath. Not only that did he heal the lame man, but he also equaled himself to God. He said, that's my Father. My Father is always working. I too am working. And so Blackaby says, God's working. We just have to find him and join him in his work. This is, to be honest, what we do wrong in mission work. Most times we prepare to go and we say, we are going to do this, and we do all this preparation instead of saying, God, where do you want us to go? Looking around and see, where is God already working? Where does God want us to be? You understand that? So I'll be honest. I'm just an old basketball coach. I never planned to be a missionary. In fact, I said, like many things, I would never be a missionary. There's a list of a long list of things. I actually said I'd never coach in junior college. I was at Western Texas. I can go through those. Many of you have heard me say, last week I was at Farmers Branch, and my friend Chris Seidman speaking. He's talking about most of us can't come up with a list of things that we're wrong about. And I said, man, I've got a long list. I do. And that was one of them. I said I'd never be a missionary. I said I'd never live in a large city. And there I am living in a large city in Africa. And so the list goes on. But he says God's always working, and he invites us to join him. Number two, he says God pursues a love relationship with you that's real and purposeful. I'm in Kenya, and I'm talking to a guy who's from Australia, and I've become friends with him. He tells me one day, you know, I really despise religion. I just don't like it. And I said, well, I don't either. And he was shocked because he knew what I did. He goes, well, I thought you take care of these kids. And I said, well, you know, Jesus didn't like religion. He didn't like the religious people of the day because they kept people from having a real relationship with his Father. And so, you know, God's relationship is real. I thought about that as we're singing. Not that this is not good song service, but for my kids watching back in Kenya, their song service is pretty lively, if you know what I mean. And so they're clapping and, you know, moving around. They're going, man, where's all the clapping and moving? And I'm thinking, it's just different. It doesn't mean it's bad, or it's just different. But, you know, God's relationship with us is real and purposeful. And he will seek that for you. And he's going to invite you to come be involved with him and his work. Now, I'm in Kenya. I'm working at the college. In the morning, I teach Old Testament Bible. In the afternoons, well, at lunch, we did a noon Bible study with the men and ladies basketball teams. And that was a great thing. The kids called it Ghetto Bash. And it's still a purposeful thing for many of them today, you know, 25 years later. But in the afternoon, I taught and coached basketball. And then on the weekends, we got our basketball men's and ladies teams to work reach out in the community. And I thought, I've got a full schedule. And one of my students from the Bible class that I taught, Old Testament in the mornings, comes to me and said, "Coach, I love the way you teach." He said, "I'm not very good at this, but down in Mathori, which is a slum, we would think Eastley, where I was as a slum, but they call that middle class. It's not middle class, but it is apartment buildings, and so they think that's better. It's not 9 foot by 9 foot shanties, okay? So anyway, he said, "Down in Mathori, they've asked me to help with this house church. There's not many people, but I don't know what I'm doing. Could you come down there and help me?" Well, it was going to be after I'd done Bible class and Sunday morning worship, and after lunch, or right after we finished, it was 12, 1 o'clock when we finished, and I would have to go down to Mathori, and honestly, I didn't want to do it. And I thought, I don't want to do that. Sunday afternoon is the only time I have off. And so then I thought, could this be from God? And that's one thing Blackaby says in his book. You got to ask when God invites you, or you think, could this be from God? So you ask that question, and you pray. So I started praying. I said, "God, if this is really something you want me to do, I'm going to go ask Berkeley Hackett, longtime missionary. And if he says go, then I'll go." I really thought Berkeley would say no. And I go to him, explain the situation. He goes, "Tony, I think that'd be a great thing." I went, So the work we have in Mathori, I started with a bad attitude, to be honest. Go down there, and there's like five people in this house. It's 9 foot by 9 foot, or maybe 9 foot by 10. And there's like five or six kids running around. And one of the guys with me that drove for me, who's a successful banker in Kenya now on our board, John Gichanga, his nickname was Papa D. He's with me. And so he says, "Coach, you know, the Coastons trained me at VBS, Charles and Darlene Coaston, who got us to Kenya." And he said, "Why don't I take the kids next door and do Bible class with them?" I said, "Man, that'd be great." And so we take the kids, he takes the kids, I do the adults. When I left there in 1999, we had grown so much in that little house church, we had to go rent a building. The kids had grown so much. A lot of twists and turns. From Sunday now to Saturday, that's our Saturday program. We have the kids. And before COVID, we were having anywhere between 800 and 1,000 kids on Saturdays. And so, man, bringing them in on a Saturday, we'd bring 300 or so at a time. That's the reason they don't let us do it right now, because of the massive kids. We'd bring them in, play games with them, sing songs, very much like a VBS, do a Bible lesson, give them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a banana, send them out, and then do another session. Did four sessions. And that all started from that thing in Mathori that God wanted us to do. You understand? So God invited me. I was going to say no. Then I thought about it and I prayed, and this is what God had. But, you know, Blackaby said many times when God gives you an invitation, it's going to lead to a crisis of belief that involves faith and action. I thought of so many like us. I don't know that yours would be moving to Africa. Ours was. But it may be like the rich young ruler. You know, his was his money and his possessions. He just couldn't give them up. Whatever it is, when God calls you to do something, many times it makes you make a major adjustment in your life. And the more you follow and do what God asks you to do, the more you experience him, the more he will use you. In Ephesians 2:10, and this has become one of my favorite verses, Paul says, "For we are God's handiwork." This is the New Living Testament version, or maybe the NIV. And he says, "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do." Now think about that. We're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has already prepared the work for you to do. He's already got something for each of you to do. I've had people tell me, "Well, you know, I'm just not a missionary." You don't have to be. I've shown a slide many places I go of a zebra. The common zebra, Burchelli's zebra in Africa, and there's several different species, but that's the one we all know. It has a stripe that goes all the way through. Okay, the common zebra. Do you know there's probably in the Masamara, Tanzania area, Serengeti Plains, somewhere between the estimate 700,000 to 800,000 different zebras. They migrate with the wildebeest. Not any one of them have the same stripe pattern. They're all different. None of them have the same stripe pattern. Out of all those hundreds of thousands of zebras, do you know God made you the same way? No one is you. No one is like you. You can influence someone that no one else can. Do you think about that? God has a special purpose for you. He has created you special. He's made you different than anyone else. And people think, well, I can't be Tony Maldon. Well, you don't have to be. You know, I was just an old basketball coach. People have told me, even when I was getting ready to go to Kenya, well, you have no mission training. You're not trained for this. And I thought about that, and I studied, and I prayed, and I thought, you know, I'm in pretty good company. Peter and James and John didn't have much training. Matthew, his training was in collecting taxes. You know, you think about God can use you. And he told Peter, come, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You know, you think about how God can use you. There'll be something that he has for you to do, but you got to listen to his voice when he calls. You got to make some adjustments in your schedule. It may mean you having to do something. Janice and I, in our first year, we went to Kenya on a short-term mission in 1992. Went over there and I did a basketball camp. She did tutoring. At the end of it, we went and visited down in Mathari, the slum I referred to. And we had never seen poverty like that. People tell me, oh, you've got poverty here in America, and we do. I've worked with kids from low income in the Dallas area and some of my players and low economics and all, but not Africa poor, not the same. And it just hurt my heart. And you think, what? The two big things when we came back was, what can I do? And except, and many Americans have a hard time listening to this, except for the grace of God, that could be you. And we don't think that, Doyle, I would never. You don't know. I mean, God could have placed you there, but for the grace of God, you weren't born there. And number two, what do you do to help? And we decided we can't do much, but we can help one person, one child. And we started with that. And our motto is, you know, trying to change one life at a time. We're trying to help the poorest of poor. I hope most of you will be able to stay for the auditorium class, and I'll show you more slides and all about that. But what does God do with you, whatever you allow him to? So we came back. We decided we couldn't do much, so we went and sold our house, sold it cheaply. That house that we sold for $70,000 is probably worth $1 million now. It was on 3 acres. It's in Wiley, you know. But that didn't matter. We had to get out from under that mortgage payment to be able to do something. So we sold our house and made a major adjustment in our life. That was the first thing. And then later moving there, but that's a completely different thing. And Jesus says something very interesting in John 14. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. Even greater. Because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to leave you in charge. Guess what? You are his ambassadors. You're who Jesus left in charge to make a difference in people's lives here on earth. And he will use you. It may not be the same as he's using me, but he can use you. You remember the story of the talents? They were given different talents. But the one who Jesus criticized was the one who did nothing. He didn't spend it. He didn't cheat or anything. He just did nothing with it. We are all given talents, and God calls us and says, you are my handiwork. I have something for you to do. In Romans chapter 10, the scripture that many people use, but I love it because it says this in verses 14, 15. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've not heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How will anyone go to tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Maybe yours is not going, but it could be sending. This church sends me. I was at Southern Hills doing short-term missions back when I was coaching, and there was a time they gave me a chance to go up and speak, and it was about fundraising to send me. I was going back to Kenya on a short-term mission, and so I got up and I was saying, well, if anyone wants to give, you don't have to give, but if you want to give, I was really apologetic, and you know, I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings and make them feel like they were pressured, and that's not the case anymore, by the way. And so I don't have a problem asking you for money now, but I apologized basically. Got off at the end and finished and got down, and the church or class, whatever it was over. Sam Boland comes up to me and grabs me by my face, and you know, he's a little short man. He's doing like this. Tony, look at me. Listen to me. If I don't want to give, I won't, but don't apologize. I can't go, but I can send you. And so maybe your thing is sending someone. Maybe your thing is letting God tell you, you don't need that boat or whatever it is. You know, that I want you to use that money to help someone, to help the poor. I want you to use your money this way or that. See, God gives us invitations. And so I'm looking over here at Sengalen and Deborah, and we were spending time. God willing, they're coming to Kenya October the 4th, right? And so, you know, they may need your help going. Now, they're coming to see the work. They can come back and hopefully give a good report. I know they will. That's one thing I trust. I told them, I have no fear. When you come and see our kids, you're going to fall in love. Took one of the associate ministers from Southern Hills, Stephen Corbett. He's the tech guy there. He came over and his son, and took them down to Mathari, and they're pretty overloaded. Now, I don't lie to you. Coming down to Mathari, your senses will be overloaded, like he said. Smells are bad, trash, people everywhere. It's a slum, okay? And you can't make it pretty. You can't make it nice. You pass by this huge trash heap. And he said, man, I was thinking, oh, my goodness. And then he gets to the school. I take him to the first class of kids, a little first grade class that he happens to go in first. And he goes in, and they all stand up, which is what the little kids do there in Kenya, you know, the polite ones and ours anyway. And they stand up, and they sing this little song, welcome, welcome, welcome. And him and his son are just overjoyed. And at the end of it, they went, blow him kisses. And I look over, and Stephen's got tears in his eyes. And he goes, Tony, I get it now. I understand why you're here. And I said, and he said, I was wondering about all this till I got to the school. I see these precious kids that come from nothing, the poorest of poor, and yet they're happy. They have love. They have somebody that cares for them. They get two meals a day in Mathari. Now our boarding school out at Kasserian, they get three meals a day. And it's been a life changer. Those going from the slum to our moving our kids out when they're in fourth grade, they move out to the slums, out of the slums, out to the boarding school where they all have their own bed, they have a clean water, get a shower every day, they get three meals a day, and they get a lot of love and education. And if you haven't, be sure and let any of the elders can give you my email. I do a weekly email newsletter that tells about the school, and it comes with photos. And so if you don't read much, you can at least look at the photos, all right? But it's an update on what's going on. One thing, I was on the mission committee at Southern Hills, and one thing that most people on the mission committee complain about was that we never hear from our missionaries. Well, you can't say that. If you signed up for our newsletter, you get one every week. And so you know that it's coming. I've had people tell me, though, I had a lady from Portland, Oregon, oddly enough, write me the other day and said, I am so excited that I'm involved in your work because I feel like I'm there because your weekly newsletter. Thank you for doing that. She sponsors a little girl, and she wanted to do more. So she said, can I see my little girl? So she arranged with Isadora to do a FaceTime with her little girl that she sponsors. And she said, I just cried. It was the best thing that's ever happened. Her little girl was shy. You know, she didn't know about FaceTime, and so she was shy, but turned out great. Some of you that sponsor, I have people here that sponsor children. Thank you for those. I know y'all do too. You'll see people that do one, and then this church gives to make possible what I do to send me. Thank you for that. I just want to remind you and say this as we close, that God can use anyone, and he has a special purpose for you. All you have to do is be willing to submit to his will. It may not be going to Kenya, it may be, but what he will do is speak specifically to you. Many of you give, and your heart is in the right place, and that helps be possible what we do for these precious little children. God wants us to be involved. And he says, my work is to do the will of my Father. We too need to be about doing the Father's will, do we not? What he wants you to do, he's got something specific, and he wants you to do it. So next time something comes up, don't say yes, don't say no until you pray about it and say, is this from God? Could I be doing this or not doing this and disobeying God? Could this be from God? That's the main question you have to ask, and God will reveal it to you. I know that there's always prayer needs. I've heard about the family, the loss this morning, so I do understand, and I know that there's elders available to pray with you. Our children's ministers here, as we sing this song, I'm assuming we're singing an invitation song, correct? If you have a need, see one of the elders. Talk to an elder, talk to our minister here, see whatever need. If you want to talk to me, you know, afterwards, I'll be happy to share with you. I also would invite you, please stay for the class afterwards. We've got a video and some slides and stuff, and I think you'll really be blessed by staying. Thank you once again. I feel like this is my church home. Thank you for supporting us and partnering with us in the work in Kenya. If you want to pray or have any need, we'd ask you to see someone as we stand and sing.